Well, I'm a believer that you often hear folks say opportunity only knocks once. I don't believe that. I think opportunities come as you accept one and you work through that one, and then a door opens for another opportunity. You just have to be prepared for the next opportunity and the next and the next and the next. So folks had the opportunity to go to the park, show the world, especially Baltimore and Baltimore County, that behavior was going to be acceptable, that there's not going to be any issues because they were visiting the park, because they were African American or some other ethnicity, that they had monies to spend and children to provide for and keep happy, and especially on a summer day. And so that was the opportunity, and they took advantage of it. As time went on, it was just acceptable, and folks moved on. I think now, when you look at theme parks across the nation, no one sends out any notice, this is only for this group. The bottom line is,
the money's green. They'll take
it. That's what I was about to say.
The $35
right,
or whatever.
Right,
it is,
exactly. You know, please come. My son, when he graduated from high school and he was waiting that summer to start college,
sure,
he and one of his buddies had, I think it was a day pass that they had for Wild World, one of those.
The one
places,
down in Largo?
Yeah. And they went every day,
okay,
you know. The thrill of it, I guess, for younger people, you know, at the roller coasters and
the water park.
The water park, yeah, that's great. But I think Winnow's symbolized a little bit more, because in reality there were a lot of families visiting, so you saw moms with the kids and a lot of kiddie rides. It was one step above Enchanted Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and we never had a problem there. I mean, of course, there wasn't much to do, you know. I mean, it's not a lot you could do.
If I recall, the Enchanted Forest, and I do remember that, that was geared more towards a younger crowd anyway.
It was, yeah.
Teenager wouldn't have much.
Nope. I mean, after Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah,
you know,
that's, you know.
Not much to do.
Yeah.
I think if anything, it also opened the door to the community, because people visiting the park also realized that there was much more than Gwin Oak in Gwin Oak, much more than Gwin Oak Amusement Park, mm-hmm, in that area, because people started moving into some of the homes. Of course,
the migration to the suburbs. I mean, and that was the one of the early suburbs.
Exactly. And Liberty Road has become and remains the mecca for a lot of African American families that moved from out of the city. So that may have been the channel to do that. And so 50 years later, again, there's a march, I think, tomorrow. Well, not I think, I know, tomorrow,
yeah,
in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
You know, interestingly, when Gwin Oak Park opened up,
yeah,
it was the same.
It was the same day, and I am told that that was intentional by some
exactly
of the.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that was to depress some of the folks from
there
going
was,
to
there
D.C.
There was some, at least what one of, it was explained to me, one of the folks who owned the park said they won't get a lot of black people that day because everybody will be in Washington. Well, guess what?
But they did.
But they did.
But
yeah,
they did. But they did. So it's you know. Now, it would be interesting if they were open to tomorrow to see what the difference is. Again, I just hope that people take advantage of the opportunity tomorrow. But at least when they go there, the results of they develop a plan.
I'm going to ask you something else just on a slightly related subject. But on August 28th, 1963, you remember where you were?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Okay.
That's well, actually, yeah, in front of the TV.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's where I was.
You were watching,
watching Dr.
Watching
King's speech and watching the march on TV.
I didn't. We couldn't. That was off the radar.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had decided they weren't going. We weren't going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Just too many people, and no one knew the repercussions. So.
Mm-hmm.
We were home.
Okay.
Or either at my grandmother's. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying I don't remember where,
right.
I know.
But you were watching it on TV.
Yeah, all day, you know. And the day after. You know.
What do you remember about the speech? I mean, you remember watching the speech on television? Was there anything that said that struck you? You say, hey, this is history, or?
I felt that it was history in the making. It was inspirational. It again, remember, I was one of those kids that was, they placed challenges for me. So the whole I Have a Dream and the piece for equality. Some of the other speeches I thought were good, too, though, because employment, education, voting rights, I think those were essential. I'm glad that as I go back and, read some of the history and examine how they presented everything that day, I'm glad Dr. King was last, because I think initially he was could have been in the middle, he could have been the first speaker. But I'm glad he was last, because his more or less wrapped everything up. Whereas others had the opportunity to talk about some of the more pressing issues, which were unemployment, voting rights, and the end of segregation.
Okay. We'll leave it at that. Larry, thank you very much.